Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 112. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, how you doing?
Good, dude. How are you?
I'm good. I had a great weekend.
Yep.
Action-packed. I saw Piranha 3D in
that
the
good?
Movie theater. It is quite, I would say, appropriately disgusting. How about that?
Yeah.
It is a disturbing film. There are some things that you see in 3D that should not be seen
right.
by people who pay to see such things.
Maybe shouldn't even be seen in 2D.
Definitely would agree with you there, dude. But if you like disgusting horror films and you have a sense of humor, because it is, I think it's quite funny, actually. Yeah. And there's a couple great cameos in it. It's basically Jaws with Elizabeth Shue as
oh, cool.
the part of the sheriff. And I think they don't try and disguise the fact that they're basically ripping off Jaws throughout the entire movie. And there is one scene in particular with Jerry O'Connell that is so maybe one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen in a movie. So you definitely should check it out. Dude, I saw the preview for Jackass 3D.
Oh, yeah?
Before the movie.
That could be even more disgusting.
Yeah. It was followed by The Crying Game 3D. So I'm trying to decide which one I'd rather see.
Yeah.
It's going to be a real close call.
Crying Game, I think I'm not going to go with that.
Dude, we are doing a first right now. We are...
We're videotaping
the beginning of the podcast.
Yes, we're gonna put it on YouTube. You can see us in all of our glory. I'm looking at the camera right now.
You know, I'm very vain, dude. Do I look fat in this podcast?
It's so funny because I bring up to Doug before the podcast and I say, dude, I got this camera, we should video it and put it on YouTube, and Doug is not gung-ho about it at all.
He's incredibly shy, dude,
if that's what you want to do. I'm like, dude, you're an actor. You've acted in shows. You've been on stage in front of hundreds, if not thousands of people, and he doesn't want to video the podcast.
I can't help it if I don't have the giant ego that needs stroking like you, Mike. That you must post yourself on the intranet for people to see your true identity.
Well, dude, we're on episode 112.
If you want the world to see your mullet in headphones.
Yeah.
Then let it be so.
It's pretty well established.
No, dude, it looks good. It looks good.
And now all the people in the video can see how false that was when you just said that. And how condescending
it'll depend on how I edit it. It'll depend on how I edit it.
Okay, yeah, you can cut that out a little bit later on.
We have a big show this
week, actually, with
not a lot of Sharks news. We managed to drum up one of our favorite guests.
Yeah, EJ Raddick from ESPN. So EJ... wrote something, a little something about the San Jose Sharks and Antti Niemi. We're going to ask him about that in just a little bit. We're going to ask him about all other kinds of news about the Sharks and what the Sharks should do, where they stand. All, you know, there's not a whole lot of news there, so it's really more like, you know, how do you see this guy? How do you see that guy? You know, how is this team really going to come together? Because I think there's a lot of questions out there. I know there are for me. You know, how is this team really going to be constituted? Are they going to go get another defenseman? Are they not? You know? I mean, there's really a lot of things to wonder about still. And we're, what, less than a month away from training camp.
Right. I think the question is not if they're going to get another D-man. It's going to be when.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it going to be now or is it going to be later? A delicious candy.
Yeah.
Look what I did. And now I'm hungry.
There you go.
Do I look fat in this podcast?
It just so happens that we're both wearing Sharks shirts too, which is or Sharks related shirts.
Well, you're wearing the stylish Dudes on Hockey t-shirt.
I am, and you're just wearing a Shark shirt.
I'm just wearing my man crush Dan Boyle shirt.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm sorry, my Ken Huskins one is in the wash.
Yeah. After you saw Seto again, though, so you got to get a Seto shirt now. Didn't you run into Seto again in public?
I did. I saw Seto in downtown Campbell with who I think was Jason Demers. Not sure.
Really?
I'm pretty sure that it was Jason Demers. He had a beard.
He had a beard last year.
Yeah, so. I guess he did. So maybe no one told him the playoffs are over.
Yeah.
He could shave it.
He still likes the beard.
I saw the two of them together. It was quite late, actually. It was like 1:30 in the morning. They were at a bar in Campbell. I'd been there for several hours. And I saw them. They were sitting alone in the corner. No one was bothering them. I even turned to one of my buddies and said, That's Devin Setoguchi sitting over there. And he was like, you got to go talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I thought about it in my head. There was that one moment where I said, yes, I'm going to talk to him. And luckily, the larger part of me said, what will this guy think when the same middle-aged man that has approached him randomly in public?
You think he's going to remember that?
Yes, of course.
You think he's going to remember that infamous moment at the mall?
Yes.
Where you went, you're Devin Setoguchi.
Yes, he will, because he's probably seen me hundreds of times on YouTube. In these videos.
Dude, we haven't even posted it yet. He hasn't seen you at all. Unless he saw that one video of you that shall remain nameless.
Must have been from the other podcast that I do.
Right, right. The EPL Tottenham Hotspurs podcast.
Dude, I got a Tottenham Hotspur hat for my birthday.
Wow, that's cool.
I did, actually, for my parents.
Oh,
can you believe it?
I can.
They're supporting the EPL Bad Habit. Well, and I got the fourth season of Dexter. Jealous?
Just a little bit.
Thank you. Well, should we get to the meat of the program here?
Let's get to EJ. And
we've been tap dancing long enough.
Yeah, get to some real Sharks news.
Here we go.
All right, we're joined once again by EJ Raddick from ESPN.com, also seen on the NHL Live radio show. EJ, thanks for joining us here on Dudes on Hockey.
Thank you, guys. Nice to be back to talk a little hockey with you.
Yeah, San Jose Sharks. It's been quite the summer for nothing. So, but there is some interesting things that we want to talk about. The first thing is a comment that you made last week about Antti Niemi and the Sharks. And I wanted to ask you about that. You said that Niemi was the, quote, most logical landing spot with San Jose. So what do you think is the situation with that? And why would you say San Jose is a logical place for him?
Well, I'll start by saying, I mean, it's not like I have any kind of inside knowledge about this. I don't. But, sure. When you look at the possible places, possible spots, like I said, possible landing spots in the National Hockey League for Antti Niemi, San Jose struck me as the most logical one because, they go into the season as it is right now with Teron Enomaki, who had a pretty good bounce back here in Tampa last year, who was a pretty good goalie, but he hasn't played more than, I think, it's 52 games in any NHL season so far, and he has had a history of some injury issues with his hips. And you go into the season with him and then with, young Thomas Greiss, who you don't know much about and who hasn't played a ton of games either. So when I look at San Jose, I think of a franchise that got to the conference finals last year, that has got, some talented guys there and is a team that I don't think is ready to start getting too experimental with their goaltending after having Evgeny Nabokov there for a long time. So they got to the Mackey, I think, on a very reasonable rate, and I think by the way things have turned out, Antti Niemi would be available or should be available for a team at a similar rate, a similar contract to what Niemi signed for, and also Niemi played so well against San Jose, particularly in the playoffs. I mean, I think that those things do weigh into it. So I think at the end of the day, for me, when I try to figure out where Antti Niemi is going to go, I don't see that many other job openings. I don't see teams that have maybe the room cap-wise or the room on the roster to add this guy. I just think that, when Doug Wilson really thinks about it, does he want to go into the season with, a guy who hasn't really done it yet in the NHL in Minamaki and another guy who hasn't really played that much, or does he want to maybe add a guy who has won a Stanley Cup and helped eliminate his own team just last year? So I just think there's a lot of reasons why Miami could end up with San Jose.
Now, with Huet now being on loan to the Swiss League, is it possible that Niemi is just going to go back to Chicago? I don't have the ins and outs of the CBA. Is that even allowed?
That's a great question. I believe, and again, I don't have the thing right in front of me, but I believe that once you walk away from a settle from an arbitration award, you are not allowed to re-sign that particular player for a certain amount of time. Now, I don't have it in front of me. I could be wrong, but I believe that is the case. I don't see Niemi going back there after what's happened, at least in the short term, certainly before the start of the season. And, Chicago just doesn't have the cap space, period. I mean, they were able to get UA off the books, and he's off to Switzerland. But still, that leaves them with really a limited amount of space. So I don't see that happening. Niemi is going to be somewhere else next year. He insists that he's going to play in the National Hockey League. I just don't know if there's a lot of places for him. San Jose is one. I think that could happen. Washington has got two young goalies there, and perhaps George McPhee, before the season starts, decides he wants a little bit more of a guy that has a little bit more experience and has that winning experience, which I think is critical with Niemi. He wasn't great in the final, but Niemi did play well over the course of the four rounds of the playoffs. And you know, now let's face it, not a lot of guys have that kind of experience to bring to the table and having won a Stanley Cup. So Washington is a place. Perhaps Florida, if Dale Talon, who is the former general manager in Chicago, if he wants to shuffle around his goaltending situation there, that would probably mean that Scott Clemenson would be sent to the minors, and he'd have to live with a year of having, you know, maybe a little more money on spending a little more money on goaltending than he normally would, because they already have Thomas Vokoun under contract. I think it's $5.5 million for one more season. So the Niemi thing is going to be an interesting one to watch, because the goalie market is has been kind of turned upside down this summer. But you know, like I say, to get back to the original point, at the end of the day, I see Niemi. I think logically it makes sense that maybe San Jose takes a run at him, but we'll see.
All right, I'm going to shift gears a little bit, because one of the very first times we talked to you, maybe the first time we talked to you, you mentioned that you thought the need for the Sharks at that time was maybe finding another guy, another defenseman for the Sharks that would maybe fit in that sort of number two and number three slot. And Doug and I have sort of run with that ever since. And to be perfectly honest with you, the Sharks have never really filled that slot since, and we still think that's quite the glaring need for this team, maybe the number one need. And with a guy like Willie Mitchell being bandied about, and this is another guy that could go to Washington, how much money do you think he would get after this, you know, serious concussion injury he had last year? And do you think he does, in fact, solve the Sharks' need for this number two defenseman?
No, I don't. And I think that's nothing against Willie Mitchell. I think that I think Willie Mitchell is a real competitive, tough, stay-at-home type of defenseman. And if they were to add him to their mix, I think that, you know, that's a nice player to have. And I think if we were talking about before the lockout, under kind of the old rules in the National Hockey League, I think he would have been there to be now. I think now it's, again, I just think you need more puck movers on defense. You need more guys that have the ability to move the puck and to get in and out of traffic quickly. That's why I think Dan Boyle is such a terrific, is such a terrific player for San Jose. And I think that's why he's been really a valuable guy in, like, the post, you know, to use that cliche, the post lockout NHL. Because guys with those kind of skills have become more valuable. And, when I look at San Jose's defense, it strikes me the same way. I mean, I'm still waiting, I guess, for Mark Edward Vlasic to take maybe that next step, if he can. And he's not a bad player. He's actually been a pretty good young player. But, you know, can he get to another level? I don't know. After that, there's a lot of guys that are more stay-at-home guys, and that puts a lot of pressure on Dan Boyle as the only guy who's the real puck mover. So for me, you know, when we talk about what fills their need on defense, I still think if they could find another puck-moving type defenseman, I think that would be, that is what they really need. And, you know, saying that, they're hard to find, and they can be expensive, and, that can be part of the problem, is maybe they just don't have the money to make that happen. They tried to make a pitch for a guy who's a little bit more of a agile defenseman in Yalmerson, the young guy in Chicago. They made the offer sheet, didn't pan out, but you know, that's more the type of guy I think. Guys just got a little bit more mobility and is able to move the puck. That's what they need, I think, there behind Dan Boyle as a second puck mover to give them just a little bit more flexibility back there.
So in terms of that type of player, does Kevin Bieksa fit that description?
No, he doesn't fit it. He doesn't fit it either. I mean, I would say this. I mean, you know, they lost Rob Blake. You know, San Jose has lost Rob Blake to retirement, so they're going to have to fill those minutes somewhere. Maybe a kid like Jason Demers, he showed some promise last year. You know, maybe he steps up to a little bit more of a different level this year as far as an offensive guy. Maybe, like I mentioned, Vlasic is a guy that can do a little bit more for you. These are both young guys. I think, you know, Vlasic is like, what, 23, 24 years old. Demers is, you know, younger than that. I think the addition of a Mitchell or a Bieska is really a way to try to replace what Rob Blake brought to the table. And I think from that standpoint, it makes sense. But I think in the bigger picture, you know, unless Demers is going to, you know, step up or we're going to get more out of Vlasic as well, I think there's still the, when I look at the team, I still think they're short in terms of, you know, that second puck moving guy behind, you know, behind Boyle. And like when you look at the teams that have won and been successful over the last couple of years, I mean, Detroit's got a bunch of guys like that, obviously with Lidstrom and Rafalski. Chicago's got the younger group now coming in. They've got, you know, with Keith is a tremendous skater. Campbell is a good puck mover. It's perfect for Campbell because he, although he's overpaid at his current price, he doesn't have to be the number one puck moving guy there. He fits in perfectly kind of behind what Duncan Keith does. So, you know, and in the, you know, in the East even too with the Penguins, they had a Gonchar, they had a Letang, guys like that. So I just think you need a little bit more depth in that area now, and that's still an area where I think the Sharks are a little short.
Well, and then maybe it's even more unfortunate than we initially thought that the Sharks didn't get Thomas Cabrelle, because I guess the rumor was that the Sharks were in on it to the end. Did you hear that same rumor? Do you think that would be the right fit? I mean, Cabrelle is a good puck mover.
I think Cabrelle is the type of guy that would be a good fit. But, you know, he's got 1 year left on a contract.
Right.
He's a $4.25 million cap hit right now. So those are things you got to take into consideration. If you trade for him, maybe you only have him for 1 year. Maybe that's not the best thing. Hard to know exactly, you know, if there was a conversation and what was exactly discussed. But I would say certainly that for me, from my standpoint, looking at it, I think that a guy like Cabrelle would have been a nice addition for this team.
Yeah. Was Burke just asking too much? Is that why you think he didn't get moved?
It's hard to say because, you know, I'm not going to sit here and try to let you think that I, you know all the different offers that go on here. I mean, these things are kept, for the most part, under wraps. I would just say that based on the fact that Brian didn't take any of the offers, I guess he was not satisfied with what teams were offering. And I think it was a tough spot because everybody knew, you know, these guys, you know, they do this for a living. They know what the situation was with Cabrelle and that he was going to gain control again with a no-trade clause and 1 year left on the deal. I mean, there's just, you know, there's not a lot I would think teams are going to offer for a player that in those circumstances, unless they really, for some reason, had, you know, some kind of spare parts to offer that made sense for them. And usually that's not the case. So, you know, I would suspect there was probably some interest. You know, there might have been some phone calls exchanged. Hard to know exactly why it didn't happen. But, you know, I think Thomas Cabrelle is a pretty good player. And if he stays in Toronto, I think he'll help them. And if he goes somewhere else, I think he would be a helpful player, whoever gets him.
So you think Kent Huskins in a fifth rounder just wasn't a good enough offer?
Well, I mean, probably not. If that indeed was the offer, that probably wasn't going to be enough.
I'm sure not.
And it puts Brian Burke in a tough spot, too, because, you know, this has been going on with Thomas Cabrelle for, I guess, going back into the last regime in Toronto. And, you know, if he's going to trade him, he's got to come up. He's got to be able to sell the deal in his own market.
Right.
And say, hey, look, we're able to get. And I guess whatever the deals were, they just weren't good enough for him.
Well, we want to thank you for being on the podcast, EJ. Before we let you go, we want to let you know that we found a website that gives you your own Jersey Shore nickname. So we thought you'd like to know that when we typed in your name, your nickname is the Juice Box.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Don LaGreca's nickname is the Deltoid. So,
I think you got the better of that deal. But I will say this, with three kids, I'm buying a lot of juice boxes.
So that website is a lot better than we thought, I think.
All right, well, thank you to the Juice Box for being on our show.
All right, I always try to bring a little juice to the table.
EJ, we really appreciate you joining us. Thanks again.
All right, guys. Take care, and we'll talk to you during the season.
Sounds great. Great.
Thanks.
Dude, good insights again from EJ. He's always a great guest.
Special thanks to the Juice Box for joining us on Dudes on Hockey.
The Juice Box, yes.
Mike, your nickname happens to be the Tantalizer.
Yeah. That's I kind of like that one.
And mine, the D-Train.
D-Train.
The first time we typed it in, what was it?
The Hands Team.
Yeah, I didn't like that one.
I'm not sure what that means.
I don't know. I'm not sure I want to know.
Yeah. But I think D-Train's good enough.
That's right.
And I'll take the Tantalizer.
That's right.
But, okay, so he gave some answers. The Willie Mitchell answer, I think he was pretty adamant and decisive right away that Willie Mitchell wouldn't fit that number two, number three slot that we're looking for. So he kind of doesn't want Willie Mitchell any more than we do, albeit for a completely different reason.
Right. He's identifying puck moving as the element of the team that's missing. We were on that bandwagon last year. Now, I think Doug Wilson maybe is buying what Jason Demers' beard is selling, perhaps. So maybe they're going to lean on Demers to bring that element of puck moving to the table, and they're just looking to replace what Rob Blake had on that ghost roster, you know, that we're talking about. So there's still a lot of talk that Caberle... Now, his dad gave some sort of review to the or interview to, you know, the Polish Gazette or whatever,
a
you know,
Czech newspaper, yeah,
and said that, you know, he doesn't want to be there.
Right.
So, I mean, if you're Thomas Caberle, you can't be happy. I mean, basically, everybody's talking out loud about how they don't want you.
Right.
So,
yeah, it's pretty obvious.
He can now pick and choose where he wants to go. Mm-hmm. Does he want to come to San Jose? I don't know. You know, I'm still not sure I totally think that that's the right player for us, but interesting to hear his side, and he's always very candid, and we appreciate the Juice Box being on the show.
Absolutely, and I hope that nickname really takes hold.
The Deltoid.
Yeah, the Deltoid and the Juice Box.
That is stuff, actually, dude.
It's not that far from a Razor and Mr. T,
no,
to be honest,
that
here
could
in the
be
Bay
their
Area.
New nicknames on the air.
Yeah.
One can hope.
All right, dude, what else do we have on this week? Because there isn't really a whole lot of news.
We don't
happening.
Have a lot, dude. I wanted to touch really quickly on training camp invites because we're not quite at that point yet, but last year the Sharks invited two NHL players who were coming off of roster spots with NHL teams, and Dan Hynote, who had just finished playing in the playoffs with the St. Louis Blues. Mm-hmm. In 2008-2009, and Matthew Dandenault, who was coming off of, I think he was playing with Montreal the year before, and both of them were invited to camp on, you know, as non-roster players, given the chance to make the team. I think Hynote came pretty close.
Yeah,
you know, Dandenault got released midway through camp. It just didn't seem like he had much left. And actually, he played 19 games in the AHL last year and then got released there, too.
Wow.
So I think his career is over, whereas Hynote went to the Swedish Elite League and played a full season over there. So he's still playing, be it not in the NHL. But there's a lot of sort of middle class, 30 and older NHL veterans who are unsigned. And there's going to be this training camp invite situation, dude. So
well, you said you saw on Sharks page today that or on Sharks page's Twitter feed that that Owen Nolan is skating. I mean, Owen Nolan, you know, from San Jose, lives here now, still has ties to the community to the best of my knowledge, and is skating with Captain's Ice, although he's done that in previous years. Do you think Owen Nolan could be an invite?
No, I think he's a cut above that,
right? Okay.
Player, that level of player that's going to accept a training camp invite. I think Owen Nolan, I think, has too much pride to take a training camp invite.
Yeah.
If Mike Modano can get a contract, Owen Nolan can get a contract somewhere.
Mike Modano is one of the best American players ever. I mean,
we're looking in terms of usefulness now.
Yeah, okay.
They're about on the same level.
They're in the same ballpark.
And we saw, I mean, I guess it was 2 years ago, but Owen Nolan still had a lot of gas in that tank in that Calgary series. You know, there was a lot of piss and vinegar coming out of him still.
That's for sure.
I'd love to see him in teal. I just think he's going to be too expensive, you know?
All right, so
and I think if they were going to do it, they would have done it by now, okay? Yeah. So here are some guys that I just wanted to toss out there, all right?
Mm-hmm.
The first one is Kirk Maltby.
Yeah.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really play a lot for the Wings last year, maybe questionable in terms of what he has left, but was an integral part of that team for many years. A a fourth line type player who could come in and compete and maybe push some of these younger guys into playing at their best in camp.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about Kirk Maltby?
Yeah. I mean, that seems to be the slot that needs to be filled, right? This energy fourth line kind of player. We talked about that last week. You know, there's really only one spot that's obvious. There's a fourth line, maybe a third line slot, depending on where you put Torrey Mitchell. So, yeah, I mean, he fits into that mold. That would be the kind of guy you want to see. Does he still have it?
Right. Here's another guy, a versatile forward, another play we've heard linked to San Jose at two different deadlines in the past. He ended up being moved to L.A. last year. What about a guy like Jeff Halpern?
Jeff Halpern, yeah, like a gritty, like sort of like a third line center, a penalty killer kind of guy. With Mayers coming in, I'm a little bit less sure about a guy like Halpern, because Halpern has always seemed to be a guy that you're never quite sure if he's really a good enough player to
right.
be on the roster every night. And now that we have another penalty killer in Mayers, you know, that would be sort of Halpern, you know, that would be sort of his niche. So I'm a little less sure about Halpern than I am about Maltby.
But if you're bringing him in to compete,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yep.
Halpern maybe has a little bit more flexibility. On the blue line, we've already got a real crowded house.
Yeah, we do.
So probably the odds of a veteran player coming in and competing are slim to none unless some roster moves happen. But another former Red Wing who is unsigned, who played under McClellan, Andras Lilja.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Lilja. The thing is he's been hurt. I don't know what his whole injury and health situation is, but he seemed like a guy who had a pretty firm hold on a roster spot when he played in Detroit when he got hurt. So the fact that I haven't heard his name in the press at all, it makes me wonder a little bit if maybe there's still something nagging, something ongoing with his health.
Wait a minute. I'm starting to remember. He actually, I think, was killed in Piranha 3D. It was one of those things.
He was Jason Bateman standing.
Yeah, he had an octopus in his pants. And
yeah.
Oh, my.
And then...
Oops.
And
then, it's a family show.
Yeah. Oh, well, that wasn't far enough.
Down okay. the drain. Dude, those are the three names that jumped out to me. I think we're definitely going to see on a lot of teams this year, this non-roster invite
mm-hmm.
guys who would be willing to accept the minimum to play.
Right.
You know, I mean, because what's it going to be at this point for guys like Halpern and Maltby? Are you going to play or are you going to
mm-hmm.
go overseas? What are you going to do? A lot of these guys are going to be out of work this year.
Yeah, it's really been an interesting offseason, dude. Well, anyway, I think that brings us to the end of this week's podcast.
It does.
It's good times.
And now the end is near.
Yeah, that's right.
We've reached the end of another podcast.
All right, D-Train.
We talked to the Juice Box.
Juice Box.
And I'm the D-Train.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, check us out. Hopefully, the YouTube video of the first few minutes of this podcast.
I can't wait.
You're rolling your eyes again. I wish the video was on again. You're so not happy about it.
No, I am. I'm thrilled.
You're not thrilled.
Dude, I got to tell you, I keep getting calls
uh-huh.
from the Stockton Thunder.
For what?
Trying to get us to buy season tickets.
Oh, yeah? That's cool.
Because we went to a game.
Yeah,
the Thunder!
Thunder!
Will we have any players on that roster this year?
Oh, sure. I think so. Now that we signed that agreement, yeah. I think especially...
Is it possible that Nick Petrecki will be playing for the Stockton Thunder? Here we go. Since we've got a little bit of time here.
Yeah, okay.
How do you think the Sharks are going to use the Stockton Thunder... in terms of stalking their roster? Are they going to put players who really belong in the ECHL there, or are they going to store guys there who they want to be able to get to the team faster?
I think they're going to try the latter. I think they're going to try and use it as a real temporary... It's a lot cheaper and quicker than the Worcester Shuttle. I mean, if you think, okay, here's a guy that is maybe only going to be in the minors for a week... or 2 weeks, and that's about it, and then we're going to bring him back, then I think Stockton could very well be the right destination.
And so should Fraser McLaren and Derek Jocelyn look for an apartment there? Or
yeah.
Because there's a lot of great real estate in Stockton, so I heard.
Maybe they can room with Dallas Braden.
Dude, why are you dropping A's knowledge
I don't know.
The podcast?
I don't know. I read a story about him or something. I have no idea what I'm talking about. That's the extent of my A's knowledge at the moment.
Okay.
Dallas Braden comes from Stockton. That's it.
Good job.
Thanks, dude.
Way to go.
I'm good.
Will there be any new news next week?
No.
Please send us some emails.
Yeah, please.
We're running
do.
Out of stuff to talk about here.
Yeah. Otherwise, we're going to have to, I don't know, we'll interview somebody. Or
more singing?
Puppet show on the video. I mean, we're going to
Ooh, a puppet show.
Puppet
now you're
show.
Talking.
Yeah, okay.
Now you're talking. I'm going to get some socks.
All right, dude. Talk to you next week.
We're on.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.